Theognis, 4. He was born in fire. Or was that reborn? Lucius felt it on his skin, a killing heat that consumed all before it, fueled by chemicals and accelerated by an almost sentient desire to devour. His eyes opened, and Lucius felt thrilling pain surge around his body. He was alive, which was something to be savored, especially in the wake of what had gone before. Shadowkin, the Raven Guard, had killed him. And yet, he was clearly alive. Lucius remembered the twin black swords plunging into his body in the traditional manner of the executioner. The pain of the blade sliding down through his chest to pierce his hearts and puncture his lungs was a memory to cherish. It sent pulses of shivering pleasure through him even now. He sat up, touching his hands to his shoulders and finding no trace of the killing wounds, only a smooth layer of skin that felt wondrous to the touch. He sat on a metal gurney in an apothecarium that looked like a madman's laboratory, the walls hung with heavy tubes of gurgling fluids that bubbled and steamed in the heat pervading the chamber. Fire blazed throughout its length and breadth, a raging inferno set by deliberate hand. Pools of toxic chemicals burned on the walls and floor, spilled from smashed beakers and poured from ruptured vats of highly toxic, highly flammable liquids. He was not dead, nor was he alone. In the center of the laboratory, a life-or-death struggle was underway. Two monsters of immense proportions fought with their creator and the master of this abode of the damned, Apothecary Fabius. One of the territor was a broken abomination of crooked limbs, its body swelling with mutant growths and hyper-evolving anatomy. The other sprouted new limbs with every breath, fresh organs and innumerable, unfathomable body parts. Yet amid all their hideous deformations, Lucius saw legion markings on their flesh, swollen and twisted by their nightmarish transformation. Whatever these territor were on their way to becoming, they had both once been imperial fists. Fabius fought the territor with a spike-topped rod and a wide-bore pistol that fired streaking rounds. Each impact detonated with virulent toxins, but each one seemed only to make the mutating beasts stronger. Only the flames were hurting them, and their supra-engineered flesh was potent fuel to the fire.
"Lucius!" screamed Fabius. "Help me! Save the gene samples!"
Lucius had no interest in obeying the orders of the likes of Fabius, but reasoned that being owed a favour by someone with the apothecary's talents might be no bad thing. He swung himself from the gurney and scanned the workbenches lining the walls for the most useful-looking piece of apparatus, something that might fit the description. At length he decided upon a silver cryo-storage case fixed to the wall by a series of coolant pipes and monitoring cables. Lucius fought past the flames, his armour proof against the worst of the heat, but he wore no helmet, and the skin of his scarred face was blistering in the heat, and what little hair remained on his skull was burned away, never to return. The pain was sublime. One of the territor fell, pierced through by Fabius's lethal maul, its body collapsing under the weight of its uncontrollable mutations. The other was aflame from head to foot, the flesh running from its twisted bones like hot wax. Fabius shot it in the head, and its spine cracked as an evolutionary spurt broke it apart. Lucius took hold of the storage case and ripped it from the wall. Hot fluid sprayed him from the severed feed lines, and the biological stink of it was a combination of ammoniac piss and organic waste. The sides of the box were red hot, and he roared in pain even as his mind lit up with pleasure. "Go!" shouted Fabius, pushing through the laboratory as the flame spread to the drums of explosive elements. Thudding blasts from deeper in the apothecarium shook the chamber, and sheets of billowing flame roared towards them. Lucius turned and ran for the exit, following Fabius out into the corridor beyond. Fabius hammered the door mechanism and the armoured shutter slammed down. Even through the blast-shielded plasteel, Lucius could feel the intense heat and the percussive detonation of chemical vats.
"Quickly," snapped Fabius. "The gene samples. Give them to me. They need to be kept frozen or they become non-viable."
Lucius set down the cryo-storage case and disengaged the hermetic seal. Vapor spilled from the case as the upper half of the container slid clear. Fabius worked feverishly on his heavily modified Narthesium gauntlet, opening a cylindrical vacuum flask capable of holding a number of sample tubes. Lucius saw a row of 12 zygote tubes, some misted with heat damage and others cracked and leaking. Illuminators ran the length of the case, one for each tube. All but one glowed an angry, useless red.
"Give it me," shouted Fabius. "Now!"
Lucius unsnapped the last tube, its smooth metallic surface scorched and warped, yet the genetic material inside it miraculously still viable. Fabius snatched the tube from his grasp and twisted the pressure cap onto the receiver socket of his Narthesium. The mechanism hissed with pressure differential, and the containment level dropped until the zygote tube was emptied.
"Only one," said Fabius in bitter disappointment, hurling the zygote tube down the corridor in frustration. "All that work, all that time spent, and only one survives."
"What happened in there?" asked Lucius. Fabius waved away his question.
"Nothing of any concern to the likes of you, swordsman. I could ask you the same thing. When the Phoenician brought you to me, you were cold and dead. How is it that you live?"
Lucius shook his head. "I don't know. Death doesn't want me yet." Fabius gave a short bark of laughter, grim and humourless.
"Perhaps I could learn something from you, then," said the apothecary, staring at him with predatory malice.
Lucius rose to his feet, sensing that to remain here would be dangerous. He walked away from the burning ruin of the apothecarium without looking back. By the time he reached a junction in the corridor, he felt stronger and more powerful than ever before, a dark prince among men. Something crunched beneath his boot, and he reached down to lift the empty zygote tube Fabius had thrown away. Its surface was black and yellow with heat damage, but a line of text could still be seen etched onto its side. Lucius held it up to the glow of the lumens, but whatever had been written there was mostly illegible. It looked like a name, but one he could only partially make out. "Hon Su," he read. Angel Exterminatus was written by Graham McNeil and read by David Timson. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. This work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited, 2012. All rights reserved.